This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Andrea Eger and we find out
why I smile so much.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe. Here with Chris Moore, we have traveled to Las Vegas. We have CTP behind the camera, of course. We left Doug at home. He's supposedly got more important things to do.
He's off somewhere learning something.
Yeah, he's learning something. He's getting educated. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it, folks. He'll pass the knowledge down to you at some point. We are here with Andrea Eger. We've been trying to catch up with her for a long time. And it's finally happened here in Sin City. You may know Andrea from her Instagram, where she can't stop smiling. Chris Moore has described
#smile bombs.
Chris Moore has described Chris Moore has described you as smiling too much.
No, hold on. Qualify that. Well, I'll just simply say, Andrea smiles a lot, like intensely happy. And now, having met you, I go, I'm smiling more often myself. I mean, it's just a happier situation.
That's not how I remember the conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't like that at all.
Man.
Seriously, we see your teeth all this freaking time. I just want to see your frown. That's probably what it was.
Just make sure you get a little closer. Right up next to it.
Oh, gosh, that's so close.
So you got the poof going on. I heard a rumor that...
That I wear a bumpet? No, I do not.
No.
I know what a bumpet
is,
rumor.
The rumor is you're actually hiding horns.
Oh my gosh, where did you hear that? Must have been on the haters page. Maybe it was the Dave Castro that said that because he doesn't like me.
No? Why doesn't Dave like you?
No, the real one does, but the one that has the Facebook page that makes fun of people doesn't.
I don't know about any of that. I hear about these the trolls out there, but I'm not that familiar.
Dude, I love my trolls. I love my trolls. Seriously, they say funny stuff all the time. I'm easy to make fun of.
This is a lesson that people need to learn. If you get famous on the internet, people are going to talk shit about you. You can be the most pleasant person in the world, fit, useful, happy things to say that can help people. You can be a good role model. It doesn't matter at all, does it?
No.
What's the worst comment you've gotten in the last that you can remember?
Oh, I get them all the time, but my favorite was someone just tweeted me the other day, and they were like, this is my impression of Andrea's tweet. And it was like all these emoticons with like 10 explanation points, and it was a picture of their face that was smiling up really, really close. And I was like, dude, that's exactly like my tweet. I'm so glad you're getting the message. That's what I want to send people. I was excited when I got it. I want them to feel that way too.
Is that your message? Is your message simple? Look, I'm having a good time. I'm happy. What's so wrong with that?
And with pictures and emoticons. And now you can see how happy I am.
Yeah. Yeah, giving you a hard time because you're training and being happy about it. You said this morning you woke up, was it over lunch? So you woke up and just smiling and happy, arms in the air, fists. Is that because it's exciting to have the opportunity to do what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
What is it? We're here at the MPFL.
Yeah.
We're professionally competing in the sport of fitness. This is a very interesting scene. How's your experience been so far?
Oh, it's been awesome.
It's pretty novel, right?
Yeah, it's been really cool to work on a team because I haven't done that seriously since 2011 at the CrossFit Games, and that was a really cool time in my life. I still tell people all the time that it was one of the most special memories I've ever had, and so here it kind of reminds me of it. I mean, we talked about it this morning. It's different. It's different than CrossFit. Very,
very different.
They're opposite sports, kind of, because instead of finding your most well-rounded athlete, you almost don't want a well-rounded athlete. You almost want the person that's been hoping for an entire competition of gymnastics things. That's what you want. Those people that are really good at
shorter domain.
Yeah.
Shorter, more powerful.
And we just saw the most awesome event I've seen in a long time, which is that deadlift ladder.
The deadlift ladder was fun.
Where'd that weight start, Mike? 185?
I think it was maybe 135.
Yeah, it was kind of a zigzag pattern. There was probably like 20 attempts. Mm-hmm. Really rapid fire, all the way up to 585 in the deadlift for men. What was the top weight for women?
I mean, it was all the same. And so the women
Go through the whole thing.
They would go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when they hit failure, they had to sprint to the end.
Yeah.
And then, so they would alternate men and women. It was pretty awesome.
Or in my case, rounded back deadlift, and I just decided to run because I didn't want to embarrass myself even more. So, I was like, 285 was good. All right,
so
running through.
Weight is a thing that's important. Also, the time in which you finish. So there's a strategy. If you don't want to dick around trying to get more.
No, it's all timed. And your teammates are waiting on you so that they can go. And if you have someone strong behind you, you don't want to take their time.
Why do a rep that costs like three reps for somebody else.
Yes.
Just move on and let the next person go. You got to like, the ego has to drop. And I think if you participate in CrossFit as an individual, you're used to having to push that extra rep. But here, it could actually be a bad thing.
Yes. And they don't want to get the point where you're failing or tearing or making it look like this is really unpleasant. They want to make it look like we're all robots. You're jumping in and you're able to do what you're supposed to do. And you're doing it as fast as you can.
It's very short. It's very punchy. You're hearing a lot of unique cues. Like wherever we stepped on the floor down here, you're hearing, like to my memory, I have a background in football and your typical American sports, and this feels a lot more specific to that, where you're hearing like calls being played. Like you can see down here, they're like hash. I think they have like hash marks.
Oh yeah.
It's like zones of the court where we need to get you there at here. There's a different strategy. I know my answer. Would you say this is actually really quite different than CrossFit, right?
It's as opposite as it could be. We're doing the same movements, which is great, but the way it's set up is completely different. I was listening to my coach and trusting him more than I've ever trusted a coach before, because if I'm competing in CrossFit and I'm on my own, like my training has to be my confidence. But like today and yesterday, I was listening to my coach tell me about the clean ladder, and he was counting down. All right, you have 15 seconds. I want you to go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I mean, I was listening for him. And then there was a one girl that had to skip a few bars on the deadlift because we only had a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. and we wanted to get the most weight possible. For the girls, it's interesting because if there's a tie, the tiebreaker is the girl's weight in the ladder. So that's important. And so we're listening, we're like, okay, skip this bar, go here, go now. I mean, there's very specific cues and you have to listen.
It's a lot of rapid strategy. A
lot of strategy.
I guess the question that gets begged in my mind, Michael, you might have some interesting insights on this. It's a lot different than CrossFit. And a lot of people are kind of trying to make comparisons between the two. And it's sort of maybe a little heat between them, a little friendly competition, whatever. I think they are really, really complimentary. Do you see that same thing?
And you have to know the people that come to the MPFL and they're training for this. Maybe they were nobodies. What does that mean? Maybe their name wasn't known. When they show up at regionals next year, they will have been professional athletes for a year. They've got confidence. They've got speed. They've got the strength that they needed to compete here. They're going to be great regional competitors. So it's good for CrossFit.
Michael, do you think this takes away from anything else? Or is this its own unique thing that only kind of will stir the pot and move everything forward?
I think there's a kind of the comparison I've been making is between weightlifting and powerlifting.
Yeah.
Is to the novice, they may look, people get confused. Even in CrossFit, they still call like a snatch a powerlift.
Yeah, there's a
like,
barbell between them.
The common thread is the equipment is the same. The movements look a lot alike, but the athletes that perform in each one of them couldn't be more different.
That's true. We talked about that.
It's probably going to be a 10% crossover. 10% of the athletes that do well here will do well in the games, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But if you're cut out for this time domain, then you're probably not going to be the best games athlete.
Like, then, I'm not. I already kind of talk.
Don't tell people about it.
I kind of want to say it. Just because I'm a natural endurance athlete, and that's not a secret. Shh, I win the 20-minute events. Oh, my gosh. No one noticed that. So this kind of stuff is things I need to work on. Like, go, go, go. You have 10 seconds to do something as fast as you can, as many reps as possible. That's not usually my domain. I remember the dumbbell snatches at regionals 2 years ago. Like, I couldn't have had a harder time and more like 3-minute workouts ever. Mm-hmm. My short game needs work. So that's why this will make me a better CrossFit athlete too. Make me stronger, put some pressure on. I'm constantly seeing these girls here move weight, and that makes me think I should be able to do that.
Yeah, not just strength, speed.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
I remember
speed.
I was at the Atlanta Combine, and it was like the first time I've seen like people having, working in less than 30-second sprints, and there was a sense of urgency that I could tell these athletes haven't had in a long time, because they were like stuttering on the box. And get on the box, and they're like, if you're listening, I was shaking the whole platform that we're standing on.
Andrea. Andrea's shaking the media perch we're on, the whole damn thing. Andrea, I'm very heavy. Gravity's not my friend. You're just freaking me out.
He's not good with heights, no.
Yeah, no. But one thing I'm really curious to see, I'm calling it right now, Mike. Let it be known on record that I'm calling it, that what we're going to see out of this sport, this sort of like a mutation of fitness that's competitive. I want to use CrossFit. I mean, they're both experiments. But I think this shorter, more intense, specialized thing that is including novel coaching angles and like kind of maybe like a little bit of substitution and specialization, this is going to be another experiment that makes everything, it pushes everything forward. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen CrossFit evolve to the point where now you have people who are really, really strong, like can go to a weightlifting meet and snatch with anybody, basically.
National level.
Yeah.
Qualify for nationals.
And they're going to, and then they're also able to do like triathlon or marathon or row long distances, swim, which of course, I'm a powerlifter. I know weightlifters. We're not going to do that shit. We're already sort of out of our game a little bit. But when these guys can now return to a little bit of specialization, like the good CrossFit, like evolving and trying this and getting punchier and more concise, I think you're going to see some freaky performances. I'm really excited to see how this changes everything.
I think you're going to see some bigger athletes too. Like the monsters will come out. Danny Nichols is one of those guys. I hope we get him soon.
Is he the strongest? Zed McGuire said it was basically the strongest CrossFitter.
Probably.
I'm probably starting shit. Probably somebody's going to call, oh, no, bro. Dude, you see my snatch, bro?
You know who I see out here?
He's in 300 at regionals, at our regionals in Southwest.
I think the guy deadlifts.
My dad talked about him all day.
Well, yeah, Sam cool. Dancing.
Deadlifts well over 600 pounds. Yeah, Sam.
Oh. Yeah, so, you know. You
on
see
team.
It. Yeah, you got to. Yeah, he's been on teams. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's probably cut out for this big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was in regionals and snatched 295 or whatever, and deadlift over 600 with strong guys.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, sometimes people aren't meant to be doing this, and they're not meant to, you know, and maybe they weren't meant and or built or naturally defined to do something like CrossFit, and this is going to fit them better. We were talking earlier about how you were struggling for the longest time to get on CrossFit Level 1 seminar staff. And
we don't know where this is going to go. We can take it anywhere.
You don't.
Like, what's next?
They call him old Michael Curveball Bledsoe, Andrea.
We were talking about that earlier, and you were talking about you tried to get on staff, and it ended up not working out, but it ended up being, like, the best thing.
Yeah.
I want to bring this up because I think people, first off, people don't know about the process of trying to go through. You know, that process is not easy. Yeah. And then I think a lot of times people, they fail at something and then they focus on that failure and then don't move beyond it. And for you, I think it maybe sounds like it ended up being a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know what that is like to go through the HQ level one, to teach the level one seminars. And it was like about a year process for my life. And it was something where I thought I wanted it so much. Like that's all I wanted to do was like be a good coach and be recognized in the sport as someone that really, really understood movement and was really able to spark that interest in people that were attending level one.
And
like,
help
that's
people.
A cool thing.
Help people learn.
Yeah, we like helping people. And so I put everything towards that and I went and got my coach's prep course. And then I did okay then. And then I got it again. Just to, you know, brush off the dust, got it again like a few months later because they encouraged it.
Yeah.
So I got two of those. And then after that, I taught many, I interned at many seminars. And it's a cool process because in the beginning, you know, you're just watching and you're like, okay, I get it. I feel comfortable here. I know what I'm supposed to do. And then like the second internship, they're putting you in the middle of like, okay, you're going to teach this entire 50 minutes. So you have to hit these points and you have this amount of time to hit each one. Hopefully it goes to plan.
And it's super high quality. People don't believe us when we say it's a good seminar, man.
Oh,
it's a lot of information.
It's comparable to like any other fitness seminar.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, people say, oh yeah, you can get certified in just a weekend. Well, first of all, it's not certification. No, we're not allowed to say that.
We've heard that.
Now people.
But it's... there are a lot of things you can just get done in a weekend to do something, you know, plenty of times. Other than college, I can't think of anything.
By the way, I hold many fitness certifications, and they were all weekend certifications.
Yes, they
were. That's sort of the model, right? USA weightlifting, NSCA, powerlifting,
NSCA. Most of us have been doing CrossFit for a year before we even took it.
NSCA is not even a weekend. It's a test.
And you don't do anything. You don't do anything physical on that. You don't train in that fucking certification.
No demonstration. All you got to do is watch a video and answer the multiple choice correctly.
Oh. Well, I kind of always had my own coaching style, and I had been coaching like 35 hours a week.
Strike one.
I know.
Strike one. Your own coaching style.
Like, and I had like, I had been coaching 35 hours a week for 2 years at that point, and like that's all I did. So it was really hard for me to take their criticism.
Yeah, you
as
had
like,
too much experience.
Well, doing my own thing, which is like
exactly.
Winging it.
How dare you? How dare you explore your own interests and your own abilities? Well, who do you think you are, Andrea?
So when I was having to change my teaching style or change, you know, exactly what I taught into going, oh, okay, I'm going to do it like them. I mean, it was hard for me to accept, like, you know, feedback, because I would try to put it into my next internship, but that feedback was like, made me feel like I wasn't a good coach. I was like, oh my God, this is all I care about and I'm not good enough still. Like, and then every time I kept going back, it was like, I felt like I had really successful weekends, and the whole time they'd be like, okay, work on this, work on your voice, work on your transitions, only do this for this amount of time and then transfer over to this by saying this. It was like, okay, I'll do that. I'll do everything you're saying. And then at the very end, they'd be like, okay, we still think that you need another one just for practice, and you know, we're gonna extend you to the next one. But I mean, I did that for a whole year. And so it kind of was one of those things where I believe, you know, that if I had kept pursuing it, that maybe I would have gotten a chance to be on seminar staff.
Was it helpful to go through all this rigor?
Yes. Yes, it was. And I appreciate it to no end, because I know that they don't just let anybody just walking off the streets do it. They have to kind of respect you as an athlete and a coach a little bit before they start the internship process. But then regionals came in 2013, and I was training for them, so I took a little bit of break from internships. And then coincidentally, the only way that I ended up teaching my own seminars is after I did make it to the games very publicly. all of my failures.
Your haters
are
like,
yeah,
you didn't make the games. Blurg.
Again.
Rabble.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep. Surprise. Yep. So last year when I didn't make it,
a lot of people will be like, because you're not the best athlete in the world, you have no right to coach people, Andrew. Who do you think you are? As if that was a prerequisite for being able
it's
to
not.
Coach.
It yeah. really isn't. It has nothing to do with how
and
I
make
do
sure
anything.
We make sure we get back on track. But I want to mention shortly is last year. Well, I still coach Shane Alverson, and I was doing programming for her and coaching her last year, and she DNF'd the overhead squat event at the regionals. At the very same weekend, you were in SoCal doing the same exact event. But the rules were explained differently at our region versus your region. And what had happened is Shayna had DNF'd, and they cut her from the rest of the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was devastating for her.
She didn't even get to do the burpee muscle-ups.
And that was actually really hard for me
as a coach
to watch her be devastated. And then we heard, we had heard at SoCal Regional.
Social media? Where did you hear that?
The Twitters. we found out that, you know, that the same thing had happened to a couple. I think it was you and somebody else.
There was
actually
like seven athletes in SoCal that it happened to.
Yeah. But they didn't explain the rules the same way. There was a lack of standardization.
Someone asked the question at ours and said, what is the prerequisite for the overhead squat? And they said there isn't one. There's not a certain weight that you have to get, even your opening weight. They didn't say that you had to get one or else you were like DQ'd.
Small little details.
Yeah. And you know, and sometimes like, you know, debatably, if that would have never happened, no one ever noticed. I'm sure there's other details to get overlooked here and
sure,
there. I mean,
sure.
Mistakes are made.
We're humans.
But, you know, we found out that they were going to move on, and then Shayna didn't get to. And that was even more devastating to her because it was like,
unfair.
It just didn't feel fair. And so, we had heard that you voluntarily kind of pulled yourself out. And I remember, and that was actually I actually didn't know much about you at that point. I was like, well, that was pretty noble of her of doing that. And I was like, oh, well, now I like Andrea a little more. You know, even though I didn't know.
She smiles too much.
What I knew about you at the time, I was like, I didn't know much. And so I was like, oh, well, she must be a nice person. And then Chris was complaining about your smile so much. And
don't use these harsh words. You make me look like a dick on camera.
I had to defend
you. CTP's call me out right in front of her.
I had to defend your honor, even though I didn't even know you.
Defend her? What are you, fucking Prince Charming?
Look at me. I'm Prince Charming. Come on.
Yeah.
So
pull the sword from the stone to defend Andrea's honor and assail me, the dragon of the situation. Andrea, I was just saying, she seems really happy. I wonder why she's so happy. Now I know. You're a very pleasant individual.
I think you painted a good picture with the dragon and the sword.
Yeah, well, I'm a writer,
okay? Do you
think
that Prince Charming could regularly go and fend off me from all my haters? Could I carry you around or something?
You need a strong champion.
I'm not that charming.
Yeah. You quickly lose interest.
All right, let's get back on the track.
Sure, back on track, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, our haters will call us out for not letting you speak. So there you go.
Oh, no. Okay, hi, teachers, please. I was given 7 minutes to complete three overhead squats, and I was very confident in doing so. And I tried four different times.
What was your starting weight?
175.
Yeah, you had to do that if you were going to qualify.
Out of SoCal, come on. I mean, no one's playing it safe.
No,
you know. Right. And we're trying to get to the game. We're trying to do big things. So, I remember, like, you know, you're given 7 minutes to get three reps, and I got two reps in a row and missed the third three times in a row. And it was the point where, like, the very first time that, you know, the crowd was getting in my head, I could see my family. They were like starting to get super nervous, like, oh God, like whatever. And I remember the intercom, like, the announcers were like, you know, SoCal girls are the strongest girls in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, and that was getting in my head too, because I'm like, they are. And so, in 7 minutes, you should be able to do something that you can do. And I wasn't able to. So, I went on to the burpee muscle-ups because that was the rule. You didn't have a prereq to do that workout. So I got to do that workout. And then after feeling horrible all night long, after the scores were changing, oh, my God, I was in sixth, then I was in 13th, then I was in sixth again. Then I was in, you know, last place. I was disqualified. I mean, there was tons of drama.
Yeah.
And I ended up calling Julie Fouché, Miranda Oldroyd, and my coach, and between talking to all three of them, like, I totally just felt so guilty that I was like, this isn't cool, this is not good, this is my weightlifting coach told me that
hang on 1 second.
Yeah. Oh.
Microphone adjustment, ladies and gentlemen.
Microphone adjustment.
Microphone check.
Can you hear the difference?
Yeah, I can. Right. In my ear. In my headphones. My coach told me that that this was, even though regionals felt like a big deal to me because it was the only thing I cared about, really, that it was a big deal to me about that event, and it was like, so, it was my whole world at that time, but that in real life, like, my legacy was not worth messing up just for one event. And so that was like cool to hear that, because it was like, oh, okay, like, we're talking about my life in CrossFit, which I plan on being in until I'm like 90 years old. So, you know, I was like, okay, this is important to step back and realize the big picture. So
how important, people don't realize, like, competition is way more about what you kind of learn about yourself.
Oh,
and they jump into it, they try to crush it the first time out, they don't realize that it's a much different thing. You're gonna learn a lot about yourself, you gotta have fun. But realize also, for you, how important was it to feel the hurt of it, like the pain of just bombing?
I mean,
and like a whole year you worked so hard. How,
a whole year, gone in seconds.
Is it necessary that you went through that?
Yes, for my development as a human, you know, like not just as an athlete, but I went through a lot of like depression, like 6 months of depression after not making it to the games in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I was 1 point behind Lindsay Valenzuela and had been in front of her the whole weekend. Didn't see it coming. Had convinced myself that year that I was like invincible. All year I had been training thinking that I could win the games. I mean, I wish I had that reckless like innocence of like being really new in the sport where I thought that I was capable of literally anything. And so, you know, like, I wish I could tap into that because now I'm a little jaded. Now I'm like, okay, I've lost. There are people that are stronger than me. Yeah. There are people that can do more burpees in 7 minutes than me probably now. But back then, I believed in myself so much that that sent me into like 6 month long depression. So last year was a little bit easier for me because I started understanding, okay, you know what? My representation in CrossFit and my performance is not who Andrea Agar is.
Yeah.
Like my self-worth as a human does not depend on how much I can overhead squat. Cause I'll tell you guys, my mom does not care how much I can overhead squat.
Yeah.
I mean, she actually just thinks it looks really scary, but anything I do,
she's Andrea, like, you're gonna hurt yourself. Oh God.
Like, she just kind of puts her hand on her hip and she's like, it just looks really heavy, but good job.
I think people are quick to criticize, quick to say, look at that person, they're doing this, they're on that. If I was in their position, I could be that.
Yes,
there's
a lot of
comments sort of thrown over the fence.
But you weren't in my position. You weren't the person that had this happen to. You weren't the person that felt all the emotions of, oh my God, I just messed up. This is big. I could be kept from the games right now. If I mess this up, then it's going to be an entire year of me knowing that I messed up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of started to realize, like, you know, maybe people get this beforehand, but I was not in this mind frame where it's like, okay, I can be a good coach. I'm a good girlfriend or a sister or best friend or daughter. You know,
yeah.
I'm like all these things. Like, I'm not how good I am in CrossFit. And I'm not as good as, you know, whether or not I make it to the games won't ever have to do with how good I am. It won't. So like, I kind of understood that last year, so it wasn't as big of a downfall. But it did make me make a lot of changes in my training, of course. I remember there was this one guy that I didn't even know that sat next to me and was trying to make a joke, trying to be super friendly at regionals last year, and was like, "Hey, how about you get stronger next year, huh?" I was like, hashtag too soon. Get out of my face, dude. Okay.
Like, because I didn't work on getting strong all year, dude.
Yeah. Hi. Guess what I would think of every single morning when I wake up smiling? Getting stronger. Okay.
Yeah. As you eat your 5 eggs and choke down all the food. Like, yeah, I'm not really. Oh, yeah. It didn't occur to me that I should maybe work hard.
Huh. These arms are pretty skinny still, huh?
But Mike, the thing we talk about on the show usually is like, there's. You got to learn to sort of get arm's distance between what you're doing and what you're trying for and the goals you're setting, kind of balancing extrinsic motivation against what you feel like you're getting from it. People fixate on what you're capable of and judge you by it. Meanwhile, all the lessons you learn in this hard training, all the things you pick up along the way, the end result is not even... No. It's not important at all.
No.
It's what you learn every day. It's the habits. It's what the relationships you build. It's the little things you pick up. It is the fuck ups. It's the loss that teaches you all the lessons. That's what makes a good coach, right?
Well, yeah, and it's like, you know, I don't like to be too cliche because I love quotes and
I love inspirational Mike loves cliche.
Things.
We all love cliche.
Yeah, I mean, it is like it's not how hard you hit. It's how hard you can get hit and still get back up, and that's true. Like, if you think about it, it's not, we don't remember the athletes that are like just always winning. They never went through any hardships. You're like, dude, like at regionals this year, I'm not trying to use myself as an example. Like, I'm not trying to be like, this was cool. But like this year I had an epic failure on the rope climbs. I thought I was going to win that event. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting there with Pat Burke. We were talking, he's my training partner, and we trained together every single day for the last 6 months. And we go, all right, someone has to win every single event at regionals. This is getting deep. Someone has to win. Why can't it be us? And we were like, yeah. So we were like, we both were like, why can't we win the rope climbs? Like, that's going to be us. We're going to cross the finish line first. He did win the rope climb, so.
So there's that.
Detail.
He held up his part of the deal.
He did. However, I was on world record pace with Manny Janowitz, amazing athlete. And on the 9th one, I got interrupted. So I did another one.
How many total were there?
I did another one. There were 10. So I did another one. So I did my 10th one. And then I actually ended up failing my actual 10th rep that wasn't, you know, a redo. I actually ended up missing that one 5 times in a row.
Oh, and so, we saw that several times.
Yeah,
right?
and sure, it happens to everybody. And that's the thing is I never saw it coming. So it was kind of like a sucker punch. You know, it was like, I'm going to win this event and it's going to be awesome.
You had your nose right up against the victory.
Yeah, oh gosh. And as an endurance athlete, let me tell you, I usually win, like, you know, not I usually win, but I usually have the capacity to win a 20 minute or 15 minute long event, but I do not have the capacity to usually win a 4 minute event. And so for me to be in second place that entire workout, I felt this like empowering feeling of like, this is what it feels like when those power athletes go out there and they're winning. It was so fun. It was so exciting. Oh. And everyone was screaming. And I remember looking up and touching and then coming down and seeing how excited everyone was that I touched on every single rep. And they were saying on the intercom,
Andrew, you're going to do it.
We heard things.
They're so close.
They were like, I mean, the announcers, I remember hearing this on my third rope climb. We were done in like a minute 05 or something like that. And for our third rope climb, I had already made it back to the thing. And the guy, the announcer was like, Andrea Ager teaching how to climb up rope chop or something like that, like teaching class on how to. I was like, yeah, this is so easy. Then I got to like,
and then reality.
Yeah. Oh, no. And so it wasn't just like, oh, I did poorly. Like, it was just like, I was just close enough to where I, you know, maybe I could have made it to the games, who knows, but I was just close enough where I had that in my reach. And then knowing, like, as I was failing, and I wanted more than anything, I wanted my whole strength and my whole life to just help me touch the top. And like, I keep asking myself, why could I make it 13 and a half feet, but not 14 every single time? Why is that? And I just saw that glimpse of like my future just slipping away. And then after that event, it was interesting because it was a fun event, even though it was really awful, but it was fun. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, wow, that was the funnest thing I've freaking ever done for a while until it was the worst thing I've ever
done. Apart from the crippling, the crippling heartbreak was less fun, but mostly fun.
What? But I mean, you know, it's like you have to afterwards just be. I remember looking at the camera and being like, "I'll get you next time, rope climbs." Like, you know, like just mad about it, but still like, that was ironic, wasn't it, everyone? Huh. Never saw that. But anyways, then the next morning we had the 50s, and I had been suffering through that workout and training just like everyone had. It's like a really hard workout. Yeah. I had done it four times.
I feel
times.
Like that's one to do once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once, unless you're the fifth week or, you know, the fourth week to go and you've had five weeks to know the workouts.
Now you just know how bad it's
going to
hurt.
And then you need to do it once a week.
Now, now you're just conditioning yourself to, like, hate it.
Hate it, yeah. So embrace the suck kind of thing. And, yeah, I came back and I won that workout. And it was one of those things where, like, I knew when I won that I couldn't make it to the games anymore. Like, that was gone. I wasn't happy because no one was happy for me because I made it to the games. They didn't care about that. They were like, oh, my gosh, she just went through this epic struggle that we all watched with, like, pain. I mean, let me tell you, the social media aspect of my phone is this loud. I always am, like, reading, getting notified, whatever. It's just a loud atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And that night, no one tweeted at me. No one tagged me anything. No one texted me. I mean, it was very silent. Like, the world was quiet. They were like, oh, dang, this sucks, you know? And yeah, so it was, like, kind of deep, kind of quiet.
Wow.
And so it was just me and my thoughts for, like, a whole night. And then the next morning, it was almost like everyone felt like, oh, she won. She defeated it. She, even though she's not made to the games, who cares? She's on top now. Who cares about anything else? And it felt like it was like, it wasn't about CrossFit anymore. It was about like, it wasn't about deadlifts and power cleans and wall balls. Like, it wasn't about what we were doing. It was about that, like, the mind frame and like, how, like, you came victorious. You know, you go through an epic struggle in front of everybody. And then the next day you take that defeat and you use it for a win. And it was like, almost like a story, much less numbers on paper.
Just sort of a lesson, like a chance at enlightenment to realize, well, maybe winning comes in all kinds of forms. Like, this is just one way to win. I maybe got a little something more valuable for me. I mean, maybe in 5 years' time. It's always hard to tell what the real significance is, but in 5 years' time, maybe you're like, I'm sure glad I got my heart broken a few times. Teaches you.
Teaches you, those lessons are irreplaceable for sure.
Let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to get to see Andrea's bedtime ritual.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
So stick around.
This is Andrea Eger, and you're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrugged.com and sign up for the newsletter.
And we're back.
My hair looks good.
Oh, God.
Okay, we totally got off track.
You lost some volume on the poof.
That happens.
But it's all right.
It's like handstand push-ups. They do that, too.
Yeah. We can fix that later. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, we got totally off track earlier. So
where's the track?
We were on the track of, like, you tried to do the level one stuff, didn't really work out. So what ended up happening instead?
Well, actually, it was kind of comical because right after, you know, we're going through this big depression, like, oh, didn't make it again, everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead, it's like all these gyms started calling me and my manager and emailing us and saying, hey, Andrea should come teach at our gym because we know she's not busy.
Get it, Andrea?
Yeah, get it? You don't have anything to do or train for?
No. Right?
And so, yeah, I mean, we went along with it and we started doing it, but we didn't call them seminars right away. It was just kind of like a visit at their gym where I would teach like an hour and a half or whatever. And then it just started getting so long. Like, I'm just, I like talking. As you guys can tell, I've been probably talking too much on the show already.
Nope, just
no, you're doing good.
I do like getting it out there.
I would prefer that our guests talk more and we talk less.
Okay. Well,
but that doesn't always work out.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, like, it started being like question and answer. What was it like when you got to meet Rich Froning? What was it like when you got to meet these cool people that I'm like, let me tell you, it was awesome. And or like,
did you just make shit up?
But I always tell them like embarrassing stories in front of people that are like really cool because those are like way funner.
You're like, you know? I got like my thumb knuckle deep in his average. It
what?
Was great.
No! Weird. So weird. Oh my gosh.
I left Andrew speechless.
Yes.
A little bit. But yeah, so and they asked like, of course, about diet and training and stuff like that. And so it used to be just that, and then I would teach for a few hours. But then it got like really organized, and I started sneaking in a little bit of my testimony. And then everyone I went to, it got longer on accident. And then eventually my testimony is like 90 minutes long. So I talk about me and my, like, my relationship with CrossFit and how much it means to me. And also like my relationship with God and how much that means to me too. And so, so with 90 minutes of that, and then we do like 3 hours of CrossFit. So we just teach usually the snatch, sometimes a clean and jerk, we'll switch it out. And, but then we do gymnastics and there's a short WOD at the end, like an 8 minute WOD. So the whole thing is a blast. And I teach these and I get on a high, like so excited about like talking about God and like spreading love and telling them stories. And like, I always cry at all my seminars. I've never taught one where I didn't cry at. And my favorite is that when the crowd enables me to do so by crying too. I'm like, thank you. You're making me want to talk longer.
Cry,
like,
Mike.
No, like they do. And they like tear up. I'm like, yes, this is intense.
If you can make me cry, I'll give you $100.
I won't be able to. I can already tell. You're like too tough to crack. I can already tell.
His beard's on too tight to allow tears to flow. But I mean, that's a good point. Like, it's common to be able to teach the lifts in a really good way. There's lots of great minds out there.
Oh, yeah.
But I think what people need to focus more on is how a unique story, everything else about you that makes you strong in the face of this adversity, your personal story, your foundation, what allows you, what fuels you to train hard. People need to see that side too to understand it's not just like how many times you snatch a bar. I mean,
no.
People do it once a week, 10 times a week. People eat this, they eat that, and they're all good and get stronger. What else is going on?
Yeah.
The spiritual side of things is incredibly important. The way you face adversity is incredibly important.
Yeah, and I moved for CrossFit to go to Los Angeles when I was 22. I moved after college and I found CrossFit for like probably 3 months. And then right when I got there, I found a team and I made it to the games. I mean, that part of my story is so exciting. I'm yelling at them, like, you wouldn't believe how cool it was. Because they've never heard anybody, most of the seminars I go to, they've never met anybody that's ever made it to the games.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh my God, what would that be like? The people in Corpus Lyrico are like, we can't understand her because she's talking too fast, but it's exciting. But like,
your story got so intense, the music in the room picked up.
It did.
Oh, now the story ended, so it went off.
Yeah. With the seminars, it's been really cool. And like, I, you know, talk about that, but then I also talk about how I changed my training. You got to change, got to wipe off the whiteboard all the time and go, okay, that didn't work. Now let's do this. I mean, I was training with Olympic lifting coach Waxman's in LA for 3 years, and I've gotten really good technically for Olympic lifting, and then I had I switched it up and tried powerlifting for 3.5 months.
To train with Louis a month or a couple
3.5 months. I lived
three
there.
And a half months.
I lived there from September 1st until the end of December, and so I was working with Louis Simmons and trying to get stronger, like powerlifting.
Yeah.
And it was good because I still keep all that stuff in my training. I still try to keep conjugate in my what I'm doing now, and it helps. But you know, like, I don't like taking CrossFit completely out. But I tried it and it was good for me. It made me suck wind in the open this year a little bit, but it was good for me. And so you change all the time depending on what experiences you go through, and that's basically what my seminar is about. Is like, everyone goes through hardships, and it might not be CrossFit, and the story is not about me and my CrossFit story. It's about you wanting this job or this relationship or this thing that's intangible that you can't put your hand on that you want so bad. You want it more than anything, and you can get it. And if you try your hardest and you don't get it, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna be fine. Like, your family's still gonna love you. Your people that you hang out with all the time are still gonna like you. Like, you're gonna try to do something else, and we're gonna change things all the time. Like, I don't even know what I'm gonna do next month or in 6 months. Or people say, what's your 5-year plan? I'm like, ah, yeah, right. That's not realistic for me. I don't even know where I'm gonna live next month. Like, I lived in a
one-bedroom. You don't even have a 90-day plan.
No. I lived in a one-bedroom apartment with Maddie Curley in L.A. Her one-bedroom apartment, shared a bed with her.
Wow.
For 3.5 years. You think that was my plan? I was like, hey, I'm here. And then I never left, okay? Like, these are things that just happen, and you're like, wow.
But a plan is... A plan is like necessary, that it allows you to kind of assess, what do I want? And I start heading in a direction. I think the only thing a plan really does is that it allows you to think, here's the first best step I can take towards that. I hit it hard and passionately. But then from there, who knows what you're going to discover?
Yes.
But each step has to be a passionate, you know, forceful, intentional thing.
Yes. Then if you don't think about it that way, then you're going to be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I tried to get this plan and it didn't work out. Now what? Like, that's not how I see things at all. Like you said earlier, like, you go through and you have a big chunk and you go, okay, now I'm moving to Ohio for this powerlifting thing. I'm going to do it as awesomely as I can. Then when that's done, I'm going to do the next thing as awesomely as I can. Now I'm doing the NPFL. Dude, do you think I'm going to start changing my training so I can be the best NPFL athlete I could possibly be? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shameless plug, any coaches that want to get me on your team.
I'll do anything.
Well, the greatest thing we learn at a powerlifting, guys like Louie, who's so epic, we learn the same lesson. Mark Bell will share it. AJ will share it. The powerlifting crew, I think we learn the best lesson is you got to find as many ways to get strong as you can. Mm-hmm. Experiment, tinker. For you, who knows what might work? Mm-hmm. You can't make the mistake of going, well, here's my preconceived notion about what it takes to get strong because I'm coming from this background. Weightlifting, yeah. CrossFit, whatever.
And nothing
who knows?
Works perfectly.
Yeah.
That's like saying I didn't get strong because I did all these things and now what can I do to actually get me strong? I am so much better of an athlete every year I've competed at regionals, but guess what? Everyone else gets better too. Yeah. Okay?
Isn't that unfortunate?
And I'm like, dude, I'm so much stronger than I was last year. Right now I am. And there are still girls that are always going to be stronger than me. It's fine.
I see
it's
people
good.
Get beat up. They beat themselves up because like, well, last year I placed this at regionals.
Oh, whatever.
And this year I thought I was going to crush it. And I did better. I PR'd my snatch and I ran faster and I swam better and I climbed the rope more times, but I got eighth and I feel like shit about it. Like, no, you did so much better. That's why you got to detach yourself from where you finished. Like, you are better. You are not the same person. You're
that's
better.
Where, like, intrinsic motivation is really important. And that's something that's developed with experience. I think a lot of people that get into the sport in the beginning, everything's extrinsic. They're measuring themselves against other people all the time. And I think, and the athletes that can stick around, I mean, if all you ever have is extrinsic motivation, you won't stick around very long because you're going to fail.
Even
no
if
matter
you get
what,
really good. Even if you are.
I got something epic for you guys.
Do it.
So
do it.
I've always wanted to like really sit down with Spieler and talk to him before.
Uh-huh.
Chris Spieler. Legend. And I've met him plenty of times, but like he's always busy doing Spieler stuff. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to like bother him.
Spieler stuff.
Hashtag Spieler stuff. And I got to go on an airport, on an airplane with him. And like we both were transferring in Park City, Utah, where he lives. And I was stopping there to go to LV, like Las Vegas. And so we were both coming from Colorado to do this like Faith RX camp. And I got to know him there really, really well, but like not by myself, you know, creepy stuff. I want to be by myself. And so then like we were like waiting from the airport and we were talking about stuff. And I just was like, so what'd you think about this at regionals? You know, cause I got to watch him, but like I didn't get to talk to him that much.
Yeah.
And like, that is so cool. Like I got so much, I feel like I experienced so much just by hearing him talk about the way he looks at things and the way that CrossFit HQ looks at things, you know? I mean, he's positive about so many things that we're like, oh, I wonder what their stand is. Like, dude, he loves fitness, of course, you know?
Yeah.
But something he did say is the best advice his dad ever gave him was to never compare yourself to anyone else.
Yeah.
Because then you'll only be as good as they are. And he said, I don't want to be as good as Rich Froning. Like, I don't, because I'll never be better than him, you know? And he's like, I'm not going to go, oh no, I'm this far behind him. Everyone's behind him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just is kind of a cool thing.
If you try to emulate what somebody else has done, that's their path.
Yeah.
That won't work for you. The best quote I've ever heard is Oscar Wilde says, paraphrasing, why would you try to be anybody else? Those jobs are taken. You have
a
your
different
role.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing anybody has, well, two things. You've got what you are, what you're capable of, what you love, which is completely unique, and it's people don't value that enough. Like, no, you are the only person who can be you, and all you've got is right now. Your history is whatever it was. You're not guaranteed.
And your future,
not guaranteed tomorrow. You've got now. What will you do? You should do the first next best thing you think you can do that makes you happy, that fulfills what you think is important, and you got to do it hard. And you can't worry so much about what you're going to get out of it or where you're going to go with it. That doesn't matter. What happens is what matters now is this step I take. It's got to be my best step.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think that's when magical
Amen.
Shit happens, man.
Amen.
Amen. Preach on. We'll get our dance on.
Oh man. I and this is just for me, I guess. I'm going to put this out there. Something I was reading recently by Mark Gaffney. He wrote a good book. You got to check out the author if you want to like nerd out on some enlightenment type stuff.
We do.
But
yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, he was talking about like a lot of times ego gets caught up in what other people are doing.
Yeah.
So like your
social media.
Like ego, ego is the thing that kind of like is the thing that wants to attach to other people. I want to be as good as Rich Froning. I want to be as good as this. Measures, and then like you got to get to know your true self. And a lot of people never get past ego and find their true self. And their true self is the one that can exist by itself. You know, kind of by that Oscar Wilde quote, you know, be yourself, you know, everyone else is taken type of thing. So, you know, it's if you feel like you're always comparing yourself to other people, you know, maybe take a step back, maybe do some meditation. There's all forms of spirituality that you can maybe look into to like think about how your ego might need to step aside, or at least try to step away and recognize that your ego may be hijacking you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then let your true self kind of play out. That might have gotten a little deep, but
no, but it's just deep enough.
It's the hardest. The hardest thing to do is to let go of expectations and to be kind to yourself, especially when you're in a hyper competitive environment with heavy weights and eyes on you and people making comparisons. Oh, look at your worth. It's not much because you didn't reach my expectations or you didn't win this thing.
I pat myself on the back all the time. I'm like, dude, that was great today. Like, Dusty wanted me to do 6 power cleans unbroken at 145. It's not that heavy. It's, like, doable, right? People can do that. Yeah. I'd never done it before. So then afterwards, I'm like, Dusty's like, hey, great job on the dumbbells and the power cleans. He's not my coach. He doesn't even work with me. But today he was. And I'm like, that was the most I've ever done. Thanks. Gosh, I was so pumped.
That's probably why you're so happy. You're, like, living in your true self. You're not letting you eat. Ego's not hijacking you, and that's why your smile is on all the time.
#smilebomb.
That's my theory. That's my theory.
It's quite pointless to say, oh, look at her. Instead of the weight I do, she only did that in that event. But dude, you realize, like, let's say in the snatch, there's a 12-year-old Chinese girl who's doing triples with your best ever lifetime PR in a snatch.
Oh,
like,
man.
The scale, the relativity thing, it's there. There's somebody always who's just going to crush your ass.
Even CrossFit, like, the, you know, there's a girl that snatched, there's a woman, I forget her name, but she's from Russia, and it was in European regionals, and we were having this conversation with Katrin Davizadar and Marcus Endren yesterday, and she snatched like 200 at her regionals, and then was like, okay, now I want to get the world record, so she put 2.5s on, got 205, and then she looked around and saw that no one else was going a little heavier, and so she just sat down and chilled it out for the third rep, didn't even take it, and her best is like 295. Her best snatch is almost 100 pounds. And it's like one of those things where it's like it puts it into perspective, and it's like, okay, now she's trying to be a CrossFitter. She's not trying to be crazy weightlifter girl, but she could do that. And that's like, humans can do that. Like, our CrossFit guys are still snatching less than, you know, the world class girl athletes, and that's cool. Like, that's sick, you know? So you can't ever just be like, I'm the best in this tiny little group. What if you're in a region that's not that good? What if you're in a gym that's not that good? What if you're in a, you know, world spectrum of a sport that's only been open for 7 years? Who knows? Yeah. You know, I mean, there's just like so many things that you compare yourself to. Are you in a small pond or a big pond? It doesn't matter. You're doing your best.
This is going to keep radically changing. This is going to keep changing month to month, year to year. Like,
yes.
What Tony made the point, like, look at the Fran time that was world class in 2002-03. And look at it now. Like, just expectations. Angel's taking the clothes off. Get the camera. teasing the audience a little bit. But, like, the way standards change so rapidly, as soon as somebody achieves something, the way things can accelerate and move forward, that's why I'm really pumped to see how this changes things, this event here. But things were going to change so much. You got to let go of, like, what you think is good or bad. Nah, this doesn't even matter, man.
This doesn't matter.
This is a wild journey we're on. Like, look at the details and sort of take notes of how wild this all is. There's plenty just to learn from.
The analogy he used last night, but the story he told was sort of CrossFit.com posted in 2003 that if you could beat Greg Edmondson.
Greg Edmondson.
Greg Edmondson.
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 We all know. Yeah, whatever. We know what we're talking about. Was it a world record Fran time of 3:58?
3:58, and everybody in the room laughed. Everybody was like,
I wasn't laughing. I'm like, man, my best time's like 12:15 or something.
But they got a t-shirt.
If you can beat it and film it or whatever, you got a t-shirt.
Filming, and they're like, how do I do that? Where's my video?
I don't know if they said film it, but whatever. Yeah, there's like, if you can beat it, we'll send you a shirt. It's like 3:58, man. I do remember when like breaking 4 minutes was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like for me, I was like, oh, I broke 4 minutes. Now I want to break 3:30. Now I want to break three, but then I saw Chris Beeler do it in like, you know, 1:58 or something like that, and I was like,
what's the point?
I'm happy with my 3:15. I'll just keep it there.
That's when you go back to drink goat milk and going back to weightlifting.
Yeah, that's when I haven't done Fran in years. I just want to squat.
The comparison.
Actually, Fran for me, I tell people, it's like the easiest thing in the world for me. You know why, Andrea? It's so easy.
Pull-ups are so easy for you?
Yeah. It's because I, between each rep of the pull-up, I...
Oh, she's snorting.
I take offense that you snored.
Into the microphone. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, let me continue. Right.
Hey, by the way, somebody please make that a ringtone.
Yeah.
Oh,
Andrew Egger snort.
The Egger bong snort ringtone.
Say,
there you go.
But yeah,
you've got another one. You got three snorts that you can make a ringtone.
Let me get a third one. The reason why Fran is so easy is because by the time I can get in those pull-ups, I'm so completely recovered. Cover, because I do one, I wait around for like 5 minutes, I do another one or two. And the thrusters, I go, bang, 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 thruster's done. Okay, another 15 pull-ups. Let me suffer through this. Gravity, thank you very much. Gravity can be a real bitch sometimes.
Watching Chris do Fran, you know what? You know, when I first met Chris, he thought weightlifting was stupid. Well, you didn't think it was stupid. You were less accepting of it.
I was a power lifter. So that was the time when powerlifting, we were talking about earlier, this competition. Like, there's a barbell here between MPFL and CrossFit, and everybody tries to compare them directly, even though they're not quite apples to apples. Weightlifting, I was a power lifter. Of course, I thought it was the better thing. And you're a weightlifter. I think, well, this guy, he'll figure it out eventually. He'll come over to the right side.
What I like is that you're saying that there's not still like a feud between weightlifting and powerlifters, and that is wrong. Because that's like saying that like Catholics aren't still feuding with Protestants. And they
are. I think it's gotten.
It's still an epic like.
Well, Andrea, to be fair, I think now, one thing I give, look, a lot of what we want to do here is say, look, CrossFit still has so much awesome stuff to offer. Yeah. One of them is bringing disparate groups together.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A Diane Fu can come in with a Mark Bell. Mark Bell is a power lifter.
Seriously, cannot snatch.
We'll tell you right now, this is dumb. I'm not doing this.
In the old world, Mark Bell and Jesse Burdick would not have been hanging out with Diane Fu.
No.
In the old
world. Now
yeah,
they
that's
are.
True.
And now,
yeah.
you know,
because
guys like,
of CrossFit.
Yeah. And now we can experiment and tinker with like how what can powerlifting add? What can weightlifting teach? Like, because now you see guys, like in Mark's gym, people are doing a lot more front squats than they used to. They're working on position. They're working on deep squats. They're wearing weightlifting shoes. It's mixing and changing. So that is changing for the better. And this will change for the better. CrossFit and MPFL will benefit from each other and learn and grow. And they'll both will succeed if the both sides remain willing to let it happen.
And I'm doing nationals next week in the or next month in the the American nationals.
Uh-huh.
And that's I'm pretty excited for weightlifting. Okay, see you there.
High five
you there. But I mean, we're doing that, and that's like CrossFit has allowed me to like do that. I mean, it's kind of blows my mind sometimes when I see people that are obviously haven't worked out for like 30 years, and like they come to my seminar, maybe they've been doing CrossFit for a few months or something, and I'm like, wow, like they're really, you know, like inflexible, or maybe just not used to it yet. So they're not used to squatting below parallel. They're not used to snatching things above their head. And I'm like, man, like we're teaching the Olympic lifts to normal people. Like that kind of like always blows my mind. I'm like, that person walking on the street, we encourage them to learn how to snatch and clean and
jerk.
That
was never going to happen
before. That's cool.
Now
that's epic.
There's no other
and
path.
Those people could maybe make it to nationals someday. You know what I mean?
Bench press and leg presses before, and now they're learning snatches.
Did you have to do? Did you do the American Open this past year?
You did.
Yeah, 353 registrants at the USAW American Open. That was the largest weightlifting meet in the world to date.
Ever.
Yeah, it was a world record, not American record, a world record of registrants.
I say because of CrossFit.
And because, no doubt about it.
Oh, like half of them were CrossFitters, and it was doubled from last year.
And fortunately, there was a big ice storm that kept like 25% of them out.
We were stuck there.
Yeah. Had that not happened. Yeah, CTP missed it. He was going to come in, we were going to do a mini documentary, and then it didn't pan out because his plane couldn't get in due to ice. And
Texas ice. It's different than actual ice.
Yeah.
Texas ice.
They
can't aim for a band.
They're not ready to treat the roads. That's part of the problem.
Yeah,
we had four-wheel drive, so we were able to go around and eat food and watch Kanye West and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, but what I really love, and no matter what CrossFit might do that's anybody might criticize, the fact that it's brought everybody together, it's allowed a sport that I do love and appreciate immensely, Olympic weightlifting, it's going to be competitive on a world scale, our nation. We're going to have better athletes. This whole community will rise up together. The Olympic competitions will get better. Our nationals will get better. Everybody is improving and benefiting from this experiment.
Yes.
Yeah. What I really love is that now, like even like Instagram, you're an Instagram queen. You did quite good on it. But now, like,
I do like it a little bit.
Dmitry Klokov
can post stuff, can
lift you over his head, can come to the United States tour, share what he knows from behind the iron curtain. He can mix and say, hey, here's how I think you guys can get better. And we can all compete, like, as he says, we can all act in some way win together and improve together.
Dude, he does say win together. And he also says team winner, which me and my training partner, we love that. We're like, team winner all the time, all day. It's us, team winner.
How else would have Klokov come over to the United States and do that tour without CrossFit, like without something like that?
Let me teach you how to weightlift. Let me show you how strong I am. Yeah,
dude. In the old school, like Russians would have stayed in Russia weightlifting and living in a dorm or something like that. And now the story's changed.
Now they're touring here and teaching us. They're teaching us what. Oh, there it goes.
I was gonna say that, I did meet him at his seminar, and it was very amazing, like, getting taught by all of them. I mean, Ilya as well. Ilya's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, because, like, when he does give me tips on Instagram, like, if I posted a video of my 3 rep max front squat, like, 6 months ago, and his comment was, I had my hands open, and the bar was sitting in my hand, and then his comment was, never front squat with open hand, always close. And then there was like 6 thumbs ups on it, and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna remember that for the rest
close
of my
hand.
Life. Close hand on front squat. Got
close
it.
Close hand on front squat, always close.
Never open.
But isn't that pretty awesome? Excuse my French, but a fucking gold medalist, the best whale out there we've seen in a long time, is coaching you because this tool
through
exists.
Instagram!
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's pretty cool.
I tell you what else, we say Diane sharing all the information on Instagram. It's an awesome coaching
video. No, Diane's, I screenshot almost every single one of her posts.
That's not the video, but it's what she says.
I'm like, okay, I gotta remember that. And then I read it sometimes when I'm going to coach. I'm like, all right, she said it like this. I can remember that. Maybe a fourth of it. All right, I can say that. I mean, we're learning from other coaches anyway, but this is a new era where we can learn from Instagram coaches. We can learn, okay, like this is answering some people's questions. Because people that are following us are not just wanting to know, like, hey, I want to see Andrea smile every day. That's not what they want from me. They also want to know what.
which pictures get the most likes? Come on now.
Definitely not the ones in my swimsuit ever.
I want a picture. Can we get a picture of you? Let's put a picture of you in a swimsuit with you holding like 3 kittens.
You know what? I got a way to blow up the internet.
Yeah, you in a swimsuit because holding kittens.
My biggest Instagram.
They really do.
Yeah.
My biggest Instagram success was a bacon donut. So what we need to do is I'll get in a photo with a bacon donut, and you can be in your swimsuit, and we'll
I see what you're doing.
Rock the world.
Yeah. We'll take over Instagram for the day.
No, if you do, I would predict like 100,000 likes. You in a bathing suit holding a Carl's Jr. hamburger, eating it, kitten in one hand. Like everybody will just go, I can't do it. The computers will all shut down.
I love it when I posted a picture of me and Julie Fouché, and actually it was you that texted me, right? And you said, I think that you and Julie just broke the internet with that picture. I texted her and she was so embarrassed. She was like, oh.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know that she's beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Now, if you are wondering what all that noise is in the background, especially if you're just listening, you wouldn't realize that we're at the NPFL Combine.
In the Orleans Arena.
I think this is the first time they're doing like live streaming. They're like testing it out right now. And the screen they have up, I'm getting distracted a little bit during the podcast, but I'm able to focus. But the screen up here is cool. I mean, it's like what you would see in a professional sport if you're watching, you know, a college football
game. It's a
Jumbotron.
It's a
Jumbotron. But even if I was at home watching this on the TV, I would feel like I was watching like a team sport.
It's edited like kind of like an NFL game.
They're doing an exhibition right now. And
is it 7 already?
No, it's not that late. But it's they're doing an exhibition right now, and they're testing the live streaming right now. Tomorrow they're going to live stream. This podcast will have posted, and all this is already online. But this is really cool to watch. If you're wondering what all that noise is, that's what it is. If you want to check it out, npfl.com. And there's probably going to be the videos posted from this combine competition. But I'm actually being distracted a little bit. Could you believe that I would be distracted talking? I'm talking to Andrea Yeager. I'm getting distracted by a Jumbotron. People lifting weights. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man. I'm not being that distracted. You need to focus. You must focus.
I'll pull my shit together. So, all right. Let's close this one up. What do you want to – where do people find you? What's your Instagram?
It is at Yeager, A-G-E-R. _BOMB bomb at @Yeager_bomb.
Yeager bomb.
That's me on Twitter too. I have a fan page on Facebook or just like a regular Facebook, and I have a blog, www.theandreayager.com.
Oh, I don't know if I've checked out your blog.
I wrote a lot of good stuff on there.
Open and honest and raw.
It's mostly
and
about like who I get to meet and how pumped I am. I'm everyone's fan, so.
It's fantastic.
Very cool. And if someone wanted you to come to a seminar at their box, How do they make that happen?
They can go to my blog. So same thing, www.theandreayager.com, and click on the request a visit, and my manager will get back to you because we have a lot, so we are trying to plan tours right now.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Ooh,
awesome.
Planning tours. I like that. All right. Make sure you go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter. You can find out how to support the show later.
Cheers.
Cool. I really fucking
Yeah, you did awesome. Yeah.
That was so deep.
I was kind of pessimistic, but you know, I'm kidding.